business groups are looking warily at yet another proposed new rule from the Obama administration. This one would require contractors to have mandatory paid sick leave. Companies in construction industry say that could damage contracts with the government and with their own unions. Joining me with more, John McInerney, General Counsel at the Mechanical Contractors Association of America. John, good to have you on.
Good morning, Tom. Nice to be here.
So what is the problem with, say, construction versus, I don't know, a contractor that might be doing computer programming?
Well, that's the basic problem, that there are different types of contracts, different types of performance of work that needs to be recognized in the rulemaking and isn't. You know, the federal acquisition regulations break out construction contracting with a whole different set of rules because building a building, a courthouse, a VA hospital, a Corps of Engineers dam, a military base is a lot different than working in a cafeteria in a federal building or being a consultant to a professional consultant to an agency. And our basic argument is that this rule doesn't recognize those significant differences and therefore is very flawed procurement policy.
What is the standard practice for sick leave, or is there one, in construction now?
In construction, because of the nature of the work, if you have in mind a GSA building in downtown Washington, that building is the closely coordinated work of many tens, dozens of subcontractors who are work on a critical path schedule and under very, very tight conditions and very sort of uncertain conditions. The logistics of each site are different. The site conditions are different. Weather affects the project. Various other contingencies make the logistical performance of that job and the coordination of many subcontractors a very difficult process. And the one thing you need to do is when you have your crew of highly skilled workers ready to go in and hang the pipes in the first floor of the building, and you have a lead person, you have a foreman, you have a couple journeymen, you have a very productive crew, you want those people, when you dispatch them to that job, to show up and get their work done when it's supposed to be done. So the next subcontractor can follow on when he's supposed to follow on and put his work, as they say, on top of your work. So that's the nature of a construction project that is far different than fixed place, indefinite term sort of employment relationships of federal contractors. Our job is for a fixed period of time between now and next September. And we have to coordinate the work of all the people that are performing on that job, the many subcontractors. So adding in an incentive for people to take paid sick leave when timely performance is of the essence of a construction project is really tempting a bad outcome. The literature on construction project performance, starting back with the Business Roundtable in the late 70s, have said that manning the jobs, as they say, in a timely way and having reliable on-time performance is one of the primary elements, the cardinal elements of contract performance. And this order is putting adding a significant risk factor to that.
In construction contracts, if the company doing a particular job is unionized, is there sick leave sometimes in union contracts?
Well, yes. Yes and no. There is not. Sick leave is very, very, very rare in construction collective bargaining agreements for the very reason I just said to you. The labor organizations and the employers know that the hallmark of good construction contracting is getting your sequence of the work done on time. So the union knows that they need to dispatch reliable crews who understand that they're going to be dispatched to that job and they're going to do their part of the critical path schedule from now until when it's done. And, you know, that is the hallmark of good performance. So we don't have sick leave in our CBAs for a reason, because it is inapt for construction contract performance. We do have a fairly high premium wage because people know that when they are dispatched to this building, they're going to perform that job, then for the most part, they're going to go back to the hiring hall. And if they need personal time off, they had a premium wage rate, so before I take the dispatch to the next job, I can go take care of my personal time off needs. But when I'm on the critical, on a key crew on that critical path method in that GSA courthouse or VA hospital, I need to pursue that work diligently, and my employer needs to pursue that work diligently, or else we've got liquidated damages, claims, disputes, all sorts of problems, which are, you know, Navigant Consulting has identified the missing man effect as one of the primary elements driving federal construction contract claims and disputes.
We're speaking with John McInerney. He's general counsel at the Mechanical Contractors Association of America. So is it possible to put a dollar value or potential damage value on this rule?
I don't know how you do that. I mean, people get sick now, right? And we work around it. If I'm on the crew hanging the pipes in the first floor of the building, I could be sick today. And my employer will have to work around that. And it happens. We're not saying it doesn't happen. But we're also envisioning, have in mind a long-term military hospital, military lab, where there are a lot of skilled pipe trade crews working for a number of years. And those workers are accruing a minimum of 56 hours a year. So I've been on this job at this military base for 2 years. And I am entitled to 112 hours of paid time off. At my pay rate, that's a pretty good, you know, that's a nice bit of paid leave. So we're not going to repeal human nature with this executive order. So we're getting down to the end of that job, project closeout, which is a crucial part of the job. You know, when you take care of all the loose ends, and all of a sudden I wake up one morning and I say, gee, I got 110 hours paid leave. And, you know, fishing season just started. I'm calling in sick. So, you know, I'm not, you know, again, we don't want to make people go to work when they're sick any more than anybody else does. But putting a big financial incentive into the mix of a risky proposition in the first place, we don't think is good procurement policy. We don't think it's a good administrative policy. And we think, quite frankly, our argument is it also likely contradicts national labor policy. You know, this is a mandatory subject of collective bargaining, paid time off. And our bargainers, labor and management, have had the ability to put this in their contract for low these many years, and they haven't for a reason, because they know it doesn't promote good performance, and they know that the nature of the haul dispatch and going back and time off, a premium pay allows a worker, a traveling worker, sure, to take care of his personal needs in between dispatch.
Now, your association has gotten together with the electrical workers and the several other sheet metal, bricklayers, and so forth. Any response yet back to what you have submitted? Any response from the Labor Department on this?
We're in a coalition with five other specialty construction employer groups, not unions. We are the employers who sign labor agreements with building trades unions, the National Electrical Contractors Association, Sheet Metal and Air Conditioning Contractors Association, the Association of Union Constructors, the Finishing Contractors Association, the International Association of Employers of Bricklayers. Those six groups are the Construction Employers of America. So we started out with this. You know, first of all, we're dealing with this is a working, it's called the Working Families Initiative, and there is an interest group that would like paid sick leave to be universal national employment policy. And they promote these types of initiatives in state houses and city councils around the country. So our locals have been dealing with this, or local associations have been dealing with this for some period of time. California, they dealt with it, and they have a construction carve-out there. Washington, they dealt with it, and they have a construction carve-out there. Seattle and Tacoma, some city ordinances, they've dealt with it, and they have a construction carve-out. Where else? Massachusetts, it was a ballot initiative, and there's no carve-out. And on the East Coast, Philadelphia and Pittsburgh did ordinances, and there's a construction carve-out. In New Jersey, there's a number of counties and townships that have this, and there's been a construction carve-out. So we have, our basic argument to the feds has been, over the course of this regulatory procedure, has been just follow the model of all these, most, virtually all, but not all, all the other places who have done this and who have acceded to the concept that construction contract performance, definite term, project-specific employment, is a lot different from indefinite term, fixed place employment, service, and consulting contract. And therefore, there should be a bargaining carve-out. So we've told DOL that in a listening session. Before, as the rule was developed, then when they sent the proposed rule to OMB, the Office of Information, OIRA, we filed a letter and asked for a meeting, and they granted it, and we made these arguments I'm giving to you. And they took it under consideration. They don't react to them in that process. And then they issued the proposed rule mid-March, I think. And it didn't have much by way of concession to our argument. So the comment period has been extended now to April 12th or 18th, I think. And so we will file comments again. I was a little discouraged that they didn't put some sort of option in the regulatory proposal, the proposed regs that eventually came out. But we still have another bite at that apple, so we'll take it.
John McInerney is general counsel at the Mechanical Contractors Association of America. Thanks so much for joining me.
No, you're welcome, and thanks for the opportunity.
You can read more and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.